Hello, this is a sermon from the Church of St. John the Evangelist for Sunday, March the 29th, the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we begin with the first reading for this Sunday. From the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, beginning to read at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and sat me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very, very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and said to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there was sinews on them, flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortals, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And also a second reading from the letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 6. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you all this morning as we find ourselves in a very strange situation. None of us have seen anything like this in our lifetime as the world deals with this global pandemic. It's obvious that we, as a church, are not gathering. But in many ways, we are gathering. Through virtual means. We are together, and I welcome you in the name of Christ. But whether we are physically present with one another or not, in many ways this seems like the least of concerns. As I think of those of you that I'm speaking to today, some of you have lost your jobs, Some of you have lost your savings. Many of you, hopefully most of you, have not left your homes in a number of days. Some of you are working on the front lines to care for us, whether you work in healthcare or in other vital service industries such as grocery stores, pharmacies, and the like. Most of you are anxious. We are concerned for the most vulnerable to this virus, especially our elders, our neighbors who are homeless or who have other challenges. We're concerned for our valued institutions, our ministries that care for the most vulnerable, our neighborhoods, including our churches. One of the opportunities that this situation has brought us in spiritual terms is that while we fast from our Eucharistic practice and from gathering physically in person, we're gathering in other ways, nevertheless, to feast on the Word. And turning to Scripture, one of the things that we find is that challenging times are not without precedent for the people of God. Today's first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel is a case in point. Ezekiel was one of the promising young Hebrews who were dragged into exile in Babylon. We read elsewhere that these captives were not kept in prisons or even camps. They were free to marry, build homes, plant crops, and exchange goods. Some became quite wealthy. They were also free to assemble, elect leaders, and worship. But the Hebrews had a hard time worshiping in exile because they never really got over the destruction of their holy city and temple in Zion. They weren't where they wanted to be or where they were supposed to be. So they lived with a sadness that ran down into their bones. And because of that, they refused to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. We might say that, like the Hebrews in Babylon, this pandemic has us living in a kind of captivity. Most of us are staying at home, and if not, we should be. This captivity is, of course, unlike that of the Hebrews in that we're not at all free to get on with normal life as they were. No one is really flourishing. No one is getting wealthy. Another difference, at least for us as a Christian church in the midst of these times, is it seems we are finding a way to sing a new song in this foreign land we find ourselves in. We are finding ways to gather for worship. As one of our younger members has described it, pajama church. The context for our reading from Ezekiel is that eventually things got so cozy for the Hebrew exiles that even after they were encouraged to go to Jerusalem, most of them didn't want to go back. The old dream of living in the Lord's presence had died, buried under piles of distractions and coping devices that they had developed in Babylon. So one day, the Spirit of the Lord grabbed hold of this prophet Ezekiel and told him to go to this valley filled with dry bones. And there, the Lord asked Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Looking around at all those skeletons, Ezekiel thought hard and wasn't too sure and said, Lord, you know the answer to this one. And then the Lord told him to start preaching to the bones. And the Lord gave him the message to say, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." Now all of this must have looked pretty absurd. The Lord's prophet, standing in the middle of a pile of dead bones, is telling them not to give up hope. How can there be hope for dry bones? And that's the point. There is no hope in dry bones, but only in God's Word. It's God's Word that makes room for hope. And it is that hope that brings life. God's Word brings hope to our bones. And hope chooses to believe in spite of how things are at this moment. Walter Brueggemann, a wonderful Old Testament theologian, has written that hope proclaims that the way things appear is precarious. We dare not absolutize the present. Don't take the present moment too seriously. Don't bank on today, because today won't last. So hope is revolutionary. That's why the poor are great at hoping, why we in the middle and upper classes, who've generally been coping well in Babylon, have a hard time with hope. Because up to this present crisis, we've been happy to think we're doing well enough, actually. Our only worry is that we'll lose ground tomorrow. Today, we're fine. In many ways, that's the nature of the anxiety that many of us face today in this situation. What will tomorrow bring? The Apostle Paul told the believers in Rome that the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. You see, the church has always found its life not in what it sees today, but in the Spirit of God who raises dead hopes. And the day we lose our ability to envision a better tomorrow is the day that we deny that we really believe in the resurrection. Someone I read this week was asking, why is it that the church keeps pouring out its little cups of water into all the desperate places of the world where hope has run dry? Why do we keep visiting the shut-ins and those in hospitals when we've got no miracle drug to take away their pain? Why do we commit ourselves to engaging in politics when we know that there's no salvation in politics, when we know that the political life in our world seems so dead-end? Why do we engage in affordable housing in our city when whatever we do seems like just a drop in the bucket? Why bother sponsoring 3 women refugees from Iran when there are millions of displaced people around the world today? Why are we so committed to beauty in the arts and supporting artists in our community with our concert project here at St. John's, when we know that the world is in fact a brutish place? Why? Because God is not done. God is not done with our world or with us. And so we take our stand beside Ezekiel, and we proclaim our hope to the dry bones. Thus says the Lord, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. You, who gave up hope, who gave up dreaming, who have settled for the status quo, who've had your settled, comfortably routine life of work, bills, and dirty laundry unsettled now by this pandemic. You who think your best years are behind you, you who think that the Lord God has forgotten all about your little life, to you we say, arise. Arise from your discarded dreams. Arise to discover that the Holy Spirit is bringing life back into you. Arise to live with hope. And this hope will look different in our lives. It'll give us new priorities to work towards the future that God is giving us, to imagine and participate in that life where all things are redeemed, where God brings all people into the flourishing future that He desires for us. Imagine what that world looks like. Arise to that hope and that future, because the world is dying for us to believe that God is not done.